This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, You Must Believe the Word. We're in the midst of a series of messages on working the Word. God gave us His Word for a purpose. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. God says that He sends His Word into the world with purpose. And He sends His Word into our lives with purpose. It's not just there for no reason. God wants to accomplish something in our lives through His Word. Isaiah 55, look at verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God sends His word forth to accomplish a purpose in our lives. And we're going to talk about that purpose today. But in this series of messages, what we've discovered is that in order for the word to accomplish the purpose that God intends in our lives, we've got to learn to work the word. Amen. It's not going to happen automatically. I'm glad that you're here today. Praise God that you're here. I'm glad that you're hearing this message as it goes forth. Hallelujah. But guess what? You can sit there and listen to every word I say and it go right through one ear and what? Out the other. Amen. And it will do you absolutely no good. So we've got to learn how to work the word. And what we found out in this series of messages is that in order for the word to truly bear fruit in our lives, there are at least three things that we need to do. And we use the acronym HBO. Amen. And every time I talk about this, I tell you that you as a Christian don't need HBO. Amen. Not on your TV. Amen. But you need HBO in your Bible. Because what you need is to hear the word and to believe the word. And once you hear it and believe it, what do you got to do? Obey. You've got to obey the word. HBO. We talked last time about the hearing of the word. Today we want to talk about believing the word. You got to believe the word of God. In fact, what I want to do today, I want to start off by looking at what happens when you don't believe the word of God. Go over to Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 17. Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. Mm-hmm. Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Mm-hmm. You remember the story. God had told the children of Israel, I have given you a land. It is yours. I've prepared it for you. All you've got to do is go in there and take it. And so Moses appointed 12 spies. He said, go into the land, find out what's in there, come back and give us a report. And so they went into the land and they saw it was a good land. God had promised them a wonderful land and they found out it was so. In fact, go over for a moment to Leviticus chapter 20. Keep your finger in Hebrews because we're coming back. But go over to Leviticus chapter 20. Let me show you what this land was like that God had given them. Leviticus 20, verse 24. Here's the promise God had made to them. But I have said to you, You shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at what God says. I have given it to you. It belongs to you. But what did they do? They went, the spies went into the land. They looked around and they said, wow, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, it tells the story that when they went in there, they found grapes so big that when they took a bunch of grapes and they wanted to carry it back, they actually had to put that bunch of grapes on a pole and carry it between two men. The grapes were so big. Man, this was a good land. But they also looked around and said, oh, it's a good land, but there are giants around here. There are giants in the land. And in our sight, we look to them like grasshoppers, and in fact, we look to ourselves like grasshoppers when we look up at them. And so 10 of the spies came back and said, oh, yes, it's a good land, but there are giants over there. We cannot take the land. We can't go in. And only two. Anybody remember their names? Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, well, yes, there are giants in the land. That is the truth. But let me tell you what the real truth is. God said the land is ours. That's right. If we will go in and take the land, God has already given it to us. It doesn't matter what kind of giants are in the land. They didn't have this saying back then, but you heard it. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. That was Joshua and Caleb's attitude. We can take the land because God said we could take it. But the 10 spies who came back and said, the giants are too big for us, they're the ones who prevailed. Look at what they did. They believed their eyes and their fears instead of God. Go back over to Hebrews chapter 3. Look at how God reacted. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17 again. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Do you see it? These people who heard the word of God, but because of what their eyes saw and because of what their hearts feared, would not obey. They would not believe God's word, and God was angry. God was angry. He swore. God took an oath. They will not enter into my rest. What was his rest? Entering into that promised land. Entering into the land of blessing. That's what God had for them. He said, it's yours. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You can go in there and you can live the abundant life in the land. Hallelujah. That was God's plan for them. But because they would not believe, because they would not go into the land as God commanded, because of what they saw with their eyes and feared in their heart, God said, I am angry and I will not allow you to enter into my rest. They missed the blessing because they wouldn't believe. The Bible says that these things are written for our instruction. So we need to learn some lessons from this. Amen? Now today, in order for us to learn some lessons, I have some bad news and I have some good news. And I have some bad news and some good news. Bad news, good news, bad news, good news. All right? Let's start with bad news number one. We are just like the Israelites. And we will all face giants. Go over to John chapter 16. Look at verse 33. Look at one of the promises that Jesus gives us. You know, we come as Christians and we believe God loves us. How many believe God loves us? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many believes that God has promised that he's going to take care of us? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And some people think that what that means is God's going to make it easy for us. Guess what? He never promised that. Look at what he says. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Do you see the promise? Yes. On the one hand, Jesus said, just know it. It's the truth. This is the way things are. In this world, as long as you are walking in your flesh in this world, you will have tribulation. You cannot escape it. I don't care how good a Christian you are. I don't care how much you love the Lord. He has never promised you that you will escape all trouble in this world. But what? Be of good cheer. Why? Jesus has already overcome the world. Hallelujah. Do you see the promise? Yes. What he's saying is this. There are going to be giants in your life. You are going to have to face giants. You are going to have to deal with giants. But be of good cheer. He's already arranged the match. When I was in seminary, my Greek teacher had a part-time job. He was a professional wrestling referee. Now, I don't want to disillusion anybody, but he let us in on the secret. Those things are fixed. Amen. Please don't anybody go home crying if you didn't know. But professional wrestling is fixed. There's a hero and there's a villain. And you know from the beginning who's going to win. It's already arranged. Amen. Well, catch it. Jesus has already arranged it. In our lives, there are heroes and there are villains. And the giants are the villains. But guess what? They can't win because it's fixed. Jesus has already fixed it in our behalf. And all we have to do is believe what he told us and do what he commanded, and we will receive the blessing. Hallelujah. Everyone here today, including, by the way, Priscilla and me, is going to face giants in your life. It may be physical. It may be financial. It may be family. Anybody see yourself yet somewhere in there? Physical, financial, family. There are giants in our lives. But understand, the giants are not intended to win. I was telling Priscilla how encouraged I was by something I saw on TV. Lindsay Roberts, who is Richard Roberts' wife, was talking the other day about what happened when Oral Roberts University came under his care. And what she said was, not only did he inherit the university, he inherited $52 million of debt. And he was under extreme pressure, under the fear of actually having the university have to shut down. And I told her, you know, that's encouraging. Because sometimes you see all these people on TV and they're telling you, oh, how great, how wonderful the Lord is, how they prayed and had faith and God moved and boom, it was right there. What they don't tell you is they had to go through 2 or 3 or 5 years of challenges before they got to the point where it was right there. And when you're going through your challenge, you look at yourself and you go, well, what's wrong with me? How come I'm not getting it? And so sometimes you just need to know we are all facing giants in our lives. We all have challenges that we need to overcome, and it is not going to be instantaneous. What it's going to take is we got to believe the word of God, stand on the word of God, and keep on moving. And then we will inherit the land. Well, that was the bad news. You're going to have some giants. Let's look at some good news. Amen. Anybody up for good news? Amen. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. Catch it. He just told us about how the Israelites missed out on the rest of God because they would not believe. But now look at what he says in this verse. The promise still remains of entering into God's rest. We still have that promise. The Israelites, their rest was the promised land. What is our rest? Go over to John chapter 10. Look at verse 10. The verse from which we receive our mission statement here at Covenant Community Church. John 10:10. What is the rest that God has promised us? Amen. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it, how? More abundantly, praise God. What is the rest that God wants us to enter into? Abundant life. That's what Jesus came to give us. That's what he said. I have come that you might have life, but not just any kind of life. What? Abundant life. A life that is over and above. In fact, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Look at what the abundant life is supposed to be. Look at how this is supposed to work out in our lives when we enter into the rest of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, look at it. That is the description of the abundant life. God is able to make how much grace? All grace abound toward you. Does anybody know the definition of grace? Anybody know? What's the definition of the word grace? Unmerited favor. If it's unmerited, what does that mean? You don't deserve it and you can't earn it. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't deserve it and you cannot earn it. It is something that's given to you. God says, I am able to make all grace abound to you so that you having how much sufficiency? All sufficiency in how much? In all things will have how much? An abundance for every good work. That's the abundant life. Whether it's in your family, God is saying, look, I can make grace abound in your family. Any of you need some unmerited favor for your family situation?
Amen.
Amen. Any of you got some stuff going on in your family that needs the power of God Amen. To operate? Amen. Amen. God says, I have a sufficiency for every good work, everything that you need. When you can tap into the sufficiency of God Yes. to deal with the issues in your family, you're living the abundant life.
Amen.
It may have to do with your physical health. Guess what? We have to face some giants sometimes in terms of our health. Amen? But the giants are not supposed to win. Praise God. Where's Jackie? Can I use you, Jackie? All right. Amen. This past year, Jackie was facing a giant.
Amen.
She had within her breast a heart that was wearing out.
My Lord.
And how many of you know you can't go down to the store and pick up a spare?
Amen.
Amen. That's a giant in your life, isn't it?
Amen.
But the giants are not supposed to win. They have already been defeated. And God provided for her a new heart, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so you see her up here singing the praises of God with the new heart he gave her. The giants can't win in your life.
Amen.
Whether it's family, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whatever it is, God is able to make all grace abound unto you so that you having all sufficiency in all things will have an abundance. Whatever you need for what God has called you to in this life. You see, that's what the abundant life is all about. And God has made us the promise. This is the good news. The promise is still there. We can still enter in. Amen? We can still enter in. How many of you have ever messed up in life? Let me just see. I want to know how many people here have never messed up. I think we're getting a pretty good response here on the mess ups. Amen? Amen. Do you know what the wonderful thing about God's grace is? Even though we have messed up. Let me take it a step further. How many of us have not only messed up, but we have messed up good?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But do you see what the promise is? No matter how well or bad you have messed up, you can still enter into God's rest. Hallelujah. You can still enter into the abundant life. It's still there for you. That's the good news. You have not been disqualified.
Amen.
We were talking yesterday in our men's discipleship about the fact in Romans 5:8 God says it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us.
Yes.
Do you know God is not intimidated by your sin?
That's right.
Amen. Jesus already took care of it. He already took care of all your mess up. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you from every sin and make you eligible for the abundant life. That's the good news, praise God. And catch it. Once you begin to enter into the abundant life, whatever giants are out there, you've already got their number. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 37 through 39. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What are we? More than conquerors. Hallelujah. Whatever the giant is, more than conquerors. I don't know if you know. Most of you probably don't. But getting a church started is a giant. Amen. This is the greatest challenge I have ever faced in my life. Number one, you got to deal with people. Amen. And I started off by saying people are peculiar. Amen. Hallelujah. They're all different. They want different things. I mean, one of them, if you call them to see how they're doing, they say, well, praise God, I'm so glad you called. You call the next one to see how they're doing. They say, how come you're always checking up on me? People. Amen. And then you got resources. We have been looking for all throughout last year to get this stage carpeted. We haven't had the resources to do it yet. Praise God. Guess what? It's coming. Amen. It's coming. And then you got to deal with challenges, with issues. We came in yesterday, walked into the back, turned on the heat, and guess what? No heat back there. So we had to go out and get some heaters. Praise God, there are enough of you here. When you get back there, you'll warm it up. Amen. Amen. But there are always challenges to be overcome. There are always issues to be solved. But we are never without hope. Why? We know that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, whatever you're facing in your life, whatever has come up against you in your life, you are not meant to be defeated. You do not have to be defeated. God has made us the promise that if we will take hold of the word he has given us, the giant will fall. But here's the bad news. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Thinking back to those Israelites and what happened to them. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. God sends his word to accomplish a work in our lives, and that work is to take us into abundant life. But just like the Israelites who were not able to enter into God's rest because they would not believe the word, he says that same word of the good news of the gospel that's being preached to us, it didn't do them any good. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith.
Amen.
They didn't mix it with faith. They heard it. We talked last week about you got to hear the word, amen. They heard that word, but they did not apply faith. They did not believe. And the same thing can happen to us. We're here today. We're listening to the word of God, hearing the fact that God's plan and purpose for us is that every one of us would have abundant life. But guess what? We can still miss it. We can still miss it. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 7. Let me show you what the Christian life is supposed to be like. This is the way it's supposed to operate. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. What was the problem that the Israelites had? They believed what they saw with their eyes and what they feared in their heart instead of the Word of God. How many of you have some kind of challenge in your life today? Let me just see. Amen. Amen. Just about everybody here. You have a choice to make today. You can look at the challenge that you have. And you know what? Even when it seems to everybody else like it's an itty-bitty little challenge, the devil will magnify that thing into your mind until it's bigger than Goliath. Yes. Amen? Yes. It looks like a giant. It looks like a double giant. And we have a choice to make. What am I going to believe? Am I going to look at that giant that's in my life and say, you know what, that thing is big. I mean, that thing is really big. In fact, I just can't even see, I can't imagine how that thing's going to be defeated in my life. Whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's physical health, whatever it is, that giant is big and I can't see how to beat it. Am I going to believe what my eyes see? Am I going to believe the fear that's in my heart? Because when you face a giant, you will have fear. Amen. Don't fool yourself. I know that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. But when you first see the giant, how many of you know that you can have a little fear moving your heart? It's not that you never have fear. It's that you know how to deal with it. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So when you're facing a giant, fear is natural. Let me tell you, when David stood up to Goliath with those five little stones, don't tell me that David didn't have a little fear moving in his heart. Why? Because God set us up so that the fear gives us the adrenaline we need to overcome the challenge.
Amen.
When you learn how to overcome the fear and to use the fear, that's when you have the power to overcome the giants in your life. Don't be afraid about being afraid. But learn how to overcome the fear. Amen? So what are you going to believe today? Are you going to believe what your heart is telling you? Oh, you can't fix that. Oh, that marriage that you have, man, that husband, that wife, they'll never change. Oh, that child of mine. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Lord, why did you give me a child like this? Any of you remember Bill Cosby's curse?
Yes.
May you have a child that's just like you. Maybe that's why God gave you the child you have. Amen. Oh, Lord, this financial situation, I just don't see any way out of it. Lord, we will never get, how can we ever get out of debt? We're so deep in debt. Lord, I just don't see it. Are you going to believe your fears? Or are you going to believe the Word of God? You see, that's the danger. That's the bad news. We can still miss it the way the Israelites missed it. If we do not mix the word that we hear with faith.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.